In India, there are two, apart from the text called Veda, which is the basic text for realization of the Supreme Reality, there are two more important literature. One is Puranas, the another one is called Itihadas. Puranas mean that which is old, that is prehistory. Facts that belong to prehistory are narrated here. The second one is called Itihasas. That means it happened thus. That is history, which is more recent than the prehistory. There are 18 Puranas. They are major Puranas. In addition to that, there are Upapuranas. That is, they are called subsidiary Puranas. I shall be podcasting what Puranas are, what their Lakshanas. Lakshanas in Sanskrit means the grammar. There should be a proper format of any of these Puranas and it should be followed. All these Puranas form. Purana follow them. Puranas fall under three categories, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Now in this podcast, I'll be podcasting the Vishnu Purana in full and abridged form in English so that the younger generation will come to know of the Vishnu Purana and the events narrated thereupon. Vishnu Purana is dedicated to Bhagavan Sri Vishnu, who represents the sustenance principle, who represents the principle that supports every being in this world. Of all the Puranas, Vishnu Purana is regarded to be one of the most ancient and most popular Puranas. Here in Vishnu Purana, Chit, Achit and Ishvara. Chit is consciousness, Achit is that which is not consciousness. Ishvara means personal God. These are all explained in detail. The Vishnu Purana is a Sattvika Purana. The grammar of Puranas, they are 6 in number. They are followed strictly in 3 Vishnu Purana. In Vishnu Purana, the following details are expressed. How the cosmos was, how it evolved, how will it disappear, when would it reappear and how would it reappear, and what is the basic principle and matter of the entire cosmos, what has happened at the end of the destruction, at the end of the cosmos, and how do they reappear. Then the manifestation of devas. Devas mean those who have attained a higher spiritual status than human beings. How they are born. Then sun, Surya. Then 5 elements of nature. The explanations and details of the 5 elements of nature. The 5 elements are earth, water, fire, air and akasha. Akasha can be very roughly defined as space. Then the time frame of Manu. Manu is a ruler which is being that the time frame. It Manu also represents a Manvantara. Manvantara is a time scale. In that time scale, a person in the name of Manu is ruling that particular Manvantara. It is a huge time scale. And this Manvantara, what exactly is Manvantara? How many years it consists of? That all will be explained in the succeeding podcast. Then beneath, just the sub-classification of the time frame of Manvantara, we have Kalpa, then four yugas, that is the four aeons. Then what are the dharmic principles? What are the things to be followed in each yuga? Now there are four yugas. They are Krita Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. We right now live in the Kali Yuga. Then who are the seers? Who are the seers? Who have realized the reality? Who were the kings who ruled the universe? And what is the status of each individual? And how the society was formed? And how the society evolved? And it also explains about how the duties were distributed. All these are explained in this Purana. I shall explain them in the forthcoming segments. The 18 Puranas which one finds in Hinduism was compiled by Vyasa. His father was Parashara and Vyasa's grandfather was Shakti Rishi. And Shakti Rishi was the son of the great sage Vasishta. That means Vyasa becomes the great grandson of Vasishta Rishi. This is also found in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama Sloka, in the Purva Bhaga, third sloka. Vyasam Vasishta Naptaram Shakte Pautra Kalmasham Parasharatma Jambande Sukha Datam Daponityam. Based on this sloka, the first rishi who leads the clan was Vasishta in the lineage of Sri Vyasa. In this lineage was born Parashara. Initially, all the Puranas were born of Sri Parashara, and also it is also mentioned in this Vishnu Purana that the Vishnu Purana is the Ratna, it is the jewel among the Puranas, and all the Puranas have sprung from the Vishnu Purana. This Purana was conveyed by Parashara to another Maharishi called Maitreya. The details about all these rishis will be explained in this Vishnu Purana as the Purana goes by. Once upon a time, Parashara Rishi was returning to his ashrama where he stays, and he was about to rest because he had already finished his Nitya Karmanushtanas. Nitya Karmanushtanas means that the duties one is supposed to do on a daily basis. At that time, Maitreya, a rishi, approached him, prostrated before him and asked him, "Respected Guru, I know that the Vedas, Veda Angas means parts of Veda, Dharma Sastras, are all from, they have manifested from you. They have been revealed by you. And I have learned from them, from you. But I am still interested in knowing some more on this. Especially, how does this cosmos come and how does it run in this world? In fact, how did the cosmos come into being? How and why does it exist? Where would it go? From which point has it sprung from? Does it ever get destroyed or does it ever go back to its original state? Please let me know what they are. And also, what are the basic elements of nature in this universe, and what are its dimensions, what are its qualities. Then the information about what exactly are the oceans, how the mountains were formed, and what is that which supports the earth, and what is sun, what are nakshatras, and what are galaxies, and the sizes of the galaxies, and how these galaxies are supported, and who are these people, that is manushyas, devas. Devas are people who are slightly more advanced than the human beings. And their genealogy also I would like to know. Then I understand from what you taught me that there is a time scale, that is yuga, then kalpa, then manvantara. What are these? For the readers, for the listeners' information, we are living in the Kali Yuga. So this is the fourth part of the Yuga. We right now the minimum time scale Indian philosophy has Krita Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. We are just in the beginning, around 5013 or so. Dwapara has in Indian scale just ended. The end, what is the difference between the Manvantara and Kalpa, and what is the minimum unit of time and space? What is the process of dissolution? Who are Devarishis? Who are Rajarishis? Who are Kandarishis? Please let me know their history. And we also know that Veda Vyasa has divided the Vedas into various chapters as Veda Chaha. How and where, what are they? Then what are the called Varnas? What is called the Ashrama? That is, what is disposition? How the society is organized based on disposition and the state in which one occupies in this world. In short, how the society is also organized. I am interested in knowing all this information. And also, people talk what dharma, what righteousness is. Will you be kind enough to let me know? Kindly let me know. The reply by Parashara in the next podcast. The Upadesa or the teaching of Parashara to the Rishi Maitreya. Maitreya in the earlier past, as I told you, he has asked of Parashara about some basic facts about the universe and how the universe functions and how the world dissolves and what the primary causes. And also how the society is organized. Apart from, he has also inquired about the genealogy of the various kings. Now Parashara goes back and explains to Maitreya how he came to know of all this information and how he knows all these things. Because once we come to, when somebody asks you a question, when you are replying, you should also tell them what your source is, because the source is more important. Now, Parashara says as follows. Maitreya, you are also well-versed in the dharmas or righteousness. After hearing your question, I am reminded of an incident involving my grandfather, Vasishtha. Once, Vishwamitra Rishi, that Vishwamitra is the Rishi who has given the whole universe the great Gayatri Mantra. That Rishi, he sent one Rakshasa to kill my father Shakti. Shakti is Parashara's father. So he swallowed, the Rakshasa swallowed that Rishi and killed him. So I became angry and I have started performing a Satra Yaga in which all the Rakshasas fell and their entire families have started dying. Thousands of Rakshasas died. On seeing this, my grandfather called me and told me, "Son, stop. The results of anger will lead you into delusion, and that delusion will lead to your destruction. For the death of someone, no individual is responsible. Everyone has their own karma, and fate has also a role to play. Therefore, the responsibility for killing your father, that is my son, does not really rest with the Rakshasa who has killed. Therefore, you stop this." So, once a man is born, he dies based on his karma, the results of his actions. Therefore, now if you stop this yaga immediately and remember, if one loses his temper, he will lose all the good name he has earned throughout his life. Therefore, anger is something which is to be dispensed with. On hearing this, I stopped that yaga and kept quiet. Then my grandfather Vasishta was happy. One day, Brahma's son Pulastya Rishi came to our ashrama. In the same ashrama was Vasishta living. Pulastya Rishi is the ancestor of Ravana also. That will come later. And this Pulastya is the eldest brother of another great rishi called Pulaha. On seeing this, Vasishta, my grandfather, welcomed him traditionally and asked him to be seated. Then that Pulastya Rishi told me, "Son, we have listened to your elders and you have right now left your anger and you have become quite calm and you have stopped the yaga. Thereby, you have stopped killing my genealogy." So, here important point one has to remember that Pulastya comes from the lineage of Rakshasas. So, that means they also belong to a group of beings. Even though Rakshasas are said to be very cruel, there are also people in rishis like Pulastya. They become great rishis, Pulaha and Pulastya, they are also great rishis. Now Pulaha says, "Now because we have saved my genealogy, my descendants from death, I shall give you the boon that you shall know all the samhitas intuitively and you will first reveal the samhitas." Samhitas mean collection of hymns you find in the Vedas is called Samhita. "And you shall also realize the Parabrahma Swarupa because of my blessing. And because of my blessing, you will also know what is Pravritti Marga, means Karma Yoga, and Nivritti Marga is Sankhya Yoga. This also will become quite proficient." Then my grandfather and Pulastya also, they blessed me. "Now Maitreya, now I am in a position to recollect everything. Now as a reply, I shall explain to you whatever is being conveyed to me, whatever was revealed to me, the Purana Samhita right from now." And thus starts the actual portion of narration of Sri Vishnu Purana. In the next podcast, we shall be seeing the vibhutis, the greatness, the great attributes of Bhagavan Sri Mahavishnu. The greatness of Mahavishnu. Parashara
now talks about the greatness of Vishnu at the beginning of the Vishnu Sahasrara, Vishnu Purana. First of all, my prostration to the Paramatma, the ultimate reality, the first cause, Mahavishnu. He is changeless. He is spotless. He is pure. He is the personification of Sattva Swarupa. He is ever permanent. He is always present at all time, past, present, and future. And he is beyond everything. My prostration to this Paramatma, Bhagavan Vishnu. This sloka is also, this is the sloka which is being used in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Avikaraya Shuddhaya Nityaya Paramatmane Satega Rupa Rupaya Vishnave Sarva Jishnave. They say Vishnu is responsible for Srishti, Stiti, Samhara, that is manifestation, sustenance, and destruction in order to re-manifest. First, he presents himself in the form of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. That means Mahavishnu manifests himself in the form of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Even though he is the only one, he is present in many forms. He can assume many forms. And he is gross. You can see him. And he is also subtle. He is the abstract principle and also is gross. He is the cause of everything which cannot be seen and which cannot be expressed. That is not expressed means vyakta. There are certain things in life when you see, even with your eyes, you can't express. Avyakta, that is Vishnu, is the karana, that is the avyakta, that is the reason for things that are manifested. Vyakta, he is also vyakta. He is the result of any cause. And he is also the karya rupa, that is, he is also the visible aspect of which is subtle. And he is the ultimate refuge. And he is the subtlest of the subtle. And he is the greatest jiva which resides in each individual. He has no birth. He nor does he deteriorate in his character, nor does he die. Let me worship this Vishnu and explain to you some of your answers, some of your queries. Once upon a time, Brahma explained to Daksha Prajapati and other rishis some information, and that information was shared by Daksha Prajapati to Purugutsa on the banks of the river Narmada, which is in now Gujarat. And this was explained to the Daksha Prajapati to Purugutsa. That Purugutsa, then again he explained this to Saraswata Rishi. And Saraswata Rishi narrated this to me, that is Parashara. The Vishnu resides everywhere in this cosmos. And not only that, everything in the universe rests on him. In the Sanskrit term, Vasa means one who resides. Vasu is the place where Vishnu resides in the Akasha. That is why he is also called Vasudeva. Another name is, he is the son of Vasudeva in the avatar of Krishna. So when you find reference in Mahabharata, you will always find Krishna being referred to as Vasudeva Krishna, so that there is no confusion. The name Krishna means black. It is an indicative name. Now that Krishna, that Vishnu is also called as Vasudeva. As I said earlier, he is also the gross universe of names and forms. And he is also the Sakshi, that is, he is the witness. What is meaning by what is the meaning of Sakshi, witness? We have three states. We are awake now, I am talking. The next step is we are dreaming when we go to bed. That means we are dreaming, that is called a sapna. The third step is deep dreamless sleep. That is called sushubdi. The sakshi, that which is present in these states, these three states, which connect this, is called sakshi. And that is a witness. This is the only Vishnu is the witness for all these three. And he is also the witness for the past, present and future. He is also the witness for the karmas or the individual jiva. And Vishnu is also the Purusha, that is mean the basic active principle. He is also the cause of the entire universe. And he is also the effect of the entire universe. Because one cause may be the result, one cause may produce more effects. And one effect may be the result of many a cause. So Vishnu is present in all this, but it is only an appearance. The appearance of event, Vishnu is present in everywhere. And he is also the personification of time. There are four steps. There are four steps and four shapes he assumes. And he bears the weight of the entire universe in the form of, by performing the duties of manifestation, sustenance, and destruction. What are the four forms? These four forms, I am giving my explanation, these four forms, which you will find the reference in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. These are the four stages of Mahavishnu. They are Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Aniruddha takes care of our waking state, Jagrata. Pradyumna takes care of Swapna stage. Sangarshana takes care of our deep sleep stage. Fourth is Parabrahma level, Turiya, that is the Para Devata, that is Para Vasudeva. These four are called Vyuha Avataras of Bhagavan Mahavishnu. Chaturatma, Chaturvyuga, Chaturveda, Viteka Bad. This is from Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. More to follow in the next podcast, where we will talk about the Sankhya Tattva. What is Pradhana?
In this segment of Sri Vishnu Purana, the description of Pradhana. Pradhana is the first principle. But later we'll know that this first principle also has one thing, which is Vishnu. We'll deal with that a little later. Now, Parashara continues with the description of the first, part of this Vishnu Purana. Everything in the world has a cause. Whatever is the cause, The cause cannot always be seen and it is subtle. In Sanskrit, it is called sukshma. Sukshma means that which is subtle. And when it is subtle, you cannot describe it also. Therefore, it is also called avyakta. And this is called sukshma prakriti. Prakriti, later part time, it is being described as nature. That prakriti is one which doesn't decay, which doesn't have any support, which cannot be measured, and it never grows old, which does not move, and it is devoid of all emotions, forms, and names. And it always exists and pervades from the day of manifestation to the time of destruction. And the Vedas describe this on this line of this Prakriti or this Pradhana. That time of Pralaya, during that period, there was no day, no light, neither sky, neither bhumi, nor yet, nor darkness, nor light. Nothing else was existent then. It was not visible, but through the senses, it was not understood by all the sense organs. It also remained as one which remained as the first one and as Brahmam, beyond which cannot be understood by Buddhi. In this past cast, we shall see what time has explained in the Sri Vishnu Purana. This is only a prelude to the time, which is called Kala in Sanskrit, and it will be dealt in detail in the forthcoming podcast. Now, we said in the earlier podcast that there was one principle called Pradhana, which is taken as the cause. And apart from that, there are two things. One is time, Kala, and another is Purusha. Now, as I said in the last podcast, this Prakriti, that is Prakriti is what we said. Pradhana is nature, it's also called Prakriti. Prakriti is that principle which is inert. It is called a potential energy. In modern terms, it cannot function on its own, yet it is capable of performing action. And it has three parts contained in it, which are of equal proportion. They are called sattva, rajas and tamas. These are the dispositions or the qualities. Sattvic guna are those gunas which are self-contained, which represent wisdom, calmness and a balanced one. The second is rajas, active and proactive nature. Third is called tamas, which is absolute ignorance, totally devoid of any initiative or any motive or any initiative to perform an action, even to think properly. Everything that exists in the universe has a combination of all things, and it keeps on changing in any individual or in any living being, second to second. This will be described later as we go by. So, this Pradhana, and also which we now call it as Prakriti, is inert, it is in balance. That is, Sattva, say for example, 33.33%. Rajas 33.33 and Tamas 33.33, it is in balance. Vishnu has these two Amshas, that is Purusha and the Prakriti. That is the Prakriti which is devoid of any Upadhi. In Sanskrit, Upadhi means that which has attributes which forces it to act. Since it is inert, it is not active, it is kept that way till the universe starts manifesting itself by the desire or Leela of Vishnu. Vishnu, as a second principle, it is called Purusha. Purusha is the active principle. These two principles exist. For these two principles to interact, the third principle is needed, and this principle is also an aspect that is called Amsha in Sanskrit. It is called time. Time also as Purusha and as Prakriti, it is beginningless, it doesn't end, and through which the time, the manifestation of the universe, sustenance and its disappearance happen continuously. At the time of dissolution of the universe, the original state of the Prakriti, that is Purusha, that is between earlier podcast we said Pradhana, the Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, they again go back the original balance which existed before Purusha interacted. To make that clear, as I said earlier, the principal Prakriti was in equilibrium. It was not in movement at all. Nothing happened. When Purusha touches it, it is called Sparsha Matra. Then it becomes active because the balance of Sattva, Rajas and Tamas get disturbed. Then the universe or cosmos begin to evolve, rather begin to manifest. When it ends, when it times come, because of the third factor, Kala, these Sattva, Rajas and Tamas go back to the original status of being equal in proportion in Prakriti. That time when this happens, it is called Prakrita Pralayam. That is Prakrita Pralaya, the time in which the Prakriti goes back to its original state. More on this and Mahat Tattva in the next podcast. In this podcast, the Vishnu Purana talks about Mahat Tattva. Parashara continues his discourse to Maitreya. When the universe has not become manifested, it is yet to manifest, at that point of time, Mahavishnu enters the two essential principles of Prakriti and Purusha. The Prakriti was also, as I said in the earlier podcast, as Pradhana. And Vishnu ensures that they are disturbed. In Vishnu Purana, Vishnu enters Prakriti and Purusha and they are getting disturbed, out of which the universe begins to manifest. The Sankhya Yoga, that system, the Prakriti and Purusha are there, they come into contact, that is Sparsha Matra, then Mahat is born. That is what we are going to say in, as enunciated in Vishnu Purana. So the only difference between Sankhya and Vishnu Purana elucidation of the Mahat Tattva is that while Vishnu enters the Prakriti and Purusha, they get disturbed and the Mahat is born. When he does this, what was subtle in Pradhana, that is Prakriti, it becomes manifested. That is the universe which was dormant in the Prakriti, because the three Sattva, Rajas and Tamagunas were in equal proportions, they get disturbed and the principle is gone. The principle is born, that is called the Tattva, called Mahat. When the Sattva, rajas and tamas are in a state of dharmancy in prakriti where that prakriti is inactive, that is called sankosa, that is the stage where it is drawn itself, it has drawn to itself. When it becomes manifest because of the sparsha matra of or the entering of Vishnu in the Purusha principle, when it becomes manifest, it is that process is called vikasa. Once this is done, this mahatattva comes out and the sattva, rajas and tamas are disturbed, and Vishnu, since he has entered, the mahatattva becomes active, and from this mahatattva becomes sattva, rajas and tamas disposition, and they become responsible for the evolution of the universe, which will be described in the following podcast. Out of this is born ahankara. That is, when we say the equal proportions of sattva and rajas and tamas, when they are being disturbed, the sattva becomes separately. They were together in balance. Now sattva becomes different, rajas become different, and tamas becomes different. Sattvika is also called Vaikarika. Another name for Rajas is called Taijasa, and for Tamasa they are called Bhutati. These are called Ahankara. In Sanskrit, Ahankara means belonging. This is mine. That is called Ahankara. The feeling that it is mine, that is the point where we say that I am, that is today's language, you call it as attitude. This doesn't mean ahankara, mean belonging. So this ahankara is the reason or the cause for the five sense organs and also the five organs of knowledge. We will see what five organs of knowledge and five organs of action in the forthcoming podcast. While on this, in the preceding two podcasts as well as these podcasts, even though these are expressed in these forms, the way it is expressed in Vishnu Purana, when you interpret it in modern terms, this can be done this way. We have potential energy and kinetic energy. The energy that is capable of performing, that is prakriti, the energy which is already in motion, it is kinetic. So the Purusha Tattva is the active principle, the energy in motion. Whereas the prakriti is at rest, it is capable of in motion when it starts moving. When these start moving, the movement is possible and the energy is always transferable. Which means whatever energy that is dormant, we call it in Vishnu Purana, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, that is different forms of energy. As all we know, energy can never be created nor destroyed. Energy can only be transferred. As such, when the energy flow itself is the universe. When the universe is formed in the form of energy, they get transferred. This is what is being conveyed in these three episodes in a different format in Vishnu Sahasranama. Because everything in the universe is because of vibration. Vibration creates motion. And there is always a question which we are unable to find an answer even in science. Whether motion creates vibration or vibration is the cause of motion. That question is yet to be answered. So for everything, the vibration and movement is responsible. That is also responsible for the formation of the entire cosmos. This is the principle that is being explained in this podcast in Sri Vishnu Purana. We shall be discussing about the evolution of the five basic elements of cosmos and also the special quality of each element, which is called Tanmatra.